Take your Bibles and turn with us to the third chapter of the book of Philippians. We're in a series of messages called Unashamed. It's the life and legacy of Paul the Apostle. And this passage that we have today is one of my personal favorites. Have you ever run a race? I mean, really gotten in a race and run an official organized race. We've got one coming up next Saturday night for PowerPoint. This is our sixth year to do a race. It's a 5K. And so if you're a competitive runner, you can get in it and compete with others. If you're a runner and just want to come and run and support PowerPoint, or if you want to walk, there's also a fun run for people like me to just go 1 mile. But it's going to be a blast. And it's next Saturday evening. I would encourage you after this service is done to go outside and sign up. And when you do, it's a time to highlight PowerPoint next weekend. And it's our 20th anniversary for PowerPoint. So we're going to be doing some special things. And the 5K Light the Night fun run and 5K is a part of that. But be that as it may, if you have ever run or been a runner, run a race, you know that it takes a great deal of training. And you must eat well, train well. Maybe if you're going to run a race, you get out and get you some new running gear. You go to the mall and get you some brand new shoes, and you're ready to run. But, of course, it takes more than new shoes to run the race. You have to train. That's how it is. That's the way it works, because it takes energy, it takes effort to run a race, to perform athletically at any level. And in the Christian race, the race that we've all been given to run as we pursue Christ, we are to run to win. This isn't really a fun run. It is a run to the finish line. It's really not a sprint, but it is a marathon with an obstacle course. And there are many challenges along the way as we run this race. And Paul the Apostle, in this passage of Scripture, speaks as a spiritual athlete. You might even say, here we meet Coach Paul. We know Paul the Apostle. We know Paul the writer of the letters of the New Testament. We know Paul the missionary. We know Paul the great Christian. But maybe you haven't thought about Paul the coach, coaching us up to run our race, setting the example for us and encouraging us in the race of life. And Paul would say that the most important thing that we can do is to run this race to gain not an earthly treasure or trophy, but the spiritual prize, the eternal reward, especially to hear the words, "Well done, good race, well done, good and faithful servant." And to Paul, this meant perseverance, it meant training, it meant self-control, it meant pushing forward, it meant pressing on through the hardship and through the pain when we need to endure, when our soul is aching, to press on. What is the passion and the purpose of your life? What is the goal, the holy ambition, the one pure and holy passion of your life? Well, what we're about to see for the followers of Jesus is that it is to pace ourselves, to push ourselves, to press on to the victory that we have in Christ. And especially to press on when it gets hard. And we want to quit. And our spiritual muscles are aching. And we don't know if we're going to make it. And yet, to press on. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Here are the words of Coach Paul, the apostle, beginning at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain or gain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, I'm not there yet, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Jesus puts us in the race by his grace. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There it is. Coach Paul, the Apostle Paul, the Word of God teaching us, training us in the race to pursue Christ, to know him more and more, to become more like him every step of the way. And every step of the way, we are breathing in his grace as we move forward. As I was prepping for this message, I saw an article written by Gary Player, the great golfer, legendary golfer. And the title of the blog or the article that he was writing was Rules for Athletes. And I read with interest that article because Gary Player is a great athlete, and he's upwards to 80 years of age right now, maintains his fitness in every way, and he's just a powerful Christian personality, by the way. But when I saw those rules for competition or rules for the athlete, I thought of us and this passage. And out of this passage, I see some rules for spiritual athletes, those who are running the race and who not only run it, but finish it and finish it well. So I want to give those to you this morning. If you're taking notes, the first one is never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. That's verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. Paul said, I haven't obtained this. That is the progressive, perfect knowledge of knowing Jesus. But I press on. He said, I'm not already perfect. I haven't arrived. And none of us will arrive until he arrives. We're all on the way. And the way to get in the race is to know Christ, to receive Christ and put your hope in him and follow him, because he ran the race ahead of us and went to the cross for the joy that was set before him and died for us and rose again. And so we get into the race by receiving his grace and trusting in him, and then we begin to run. At times with stumbling steps, but we're on our way. And like Paul, we say, I'm not there, but I'm not satisfied with not being there yet. Paul was not satisfied with where he was. He said, I'm not complete yet. I'm not full yet. I'm not mature yet. There's so much more for me to know about Christ and of Christ himself. There's so much more for me to grow. Look, if you are satisfied with where you are spiritually, you're not aiming high enough. There's always more in Christ. After all, if anyone could have been satisfied with his spiritual condition, it would have been Paul. Paul, writing from prison after many opponents and challenges to his faith and to the gospel, yet along the way, he had led thousands of people to personal faith in Christ. He had planted churches all over the known world. He was a mighty man of prayer. He was a writer, as I mentioned, of the New Testament. On and on we could go. And yet, with all of these accomplishments, he was still hungry. And he was still humble. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to avoid the peril of the plateau. When he says in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection It's not that Paul didn't know him as his Savior. Certainly he did. But the word to know here, and it means to know him personally, to know him experientially. It's not to know about Christ. That's a good thing, to know about Christ. I want to know as much about Jesus as I can. Just keep telling me the story of Jesus. Amen? I want to know about him. But beyond knowing about him, I want to know him progressively. Paul would later say in 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Sometimes people misquote that verse. They say, I know in whom I have believed. Paul didn't say, I know in whom I have believed. He said, I know him. I know whom. I know the one in whom I have believed. I know Jesus. Paul didn't even want a preposition between him and Jesus. Look, Jesus is not someone we just know about. He's someone we know. I know Jesus. And I want to know more of him. Coaches often tell their teams, stay hungry and stay humble. That's what Paul is saying here. He said, I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet, but I'm moving forward. Paul, of course, was a high achiever. And the man we met before Paul was transformed by Jesus is a whole lot different than the man afterwards. Saul of Tarsus was transformed to become Paul the Apostle. And he tells us a bit about his pride, that his religious pride and his egotistical self-effort and arrogance brought him to the end of himself when he met Jesus. Look back up in Philippians chapter 3. And let's begin reading at verse 4. This is important. Look at it. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, said, you know, I had a lot of reason to be proud. He said, if anyone else thinks he has a reason for the confidence in flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the upper echelon of Israel. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. This is someone who kept all of the minutiae of the law. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. He was in, all in. He said, as to righteousness in the law, blameless. But then he said, but whatever gain I had, whatever advantage I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. The translator here in the ESV cleans that one up a little bit for us. Rubbish. It literally means refuse, filth. Defecation. He said, I count it but dung. That's the old King James Version. Worthless, filthy, all of these advantages, all of this ego that I have. He said, compared to knowing Jesus, compared to what I have in Christ, that is rubbish. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Self-righteousness, arrogance, all the rest. He said, I put no confidence in the flesh. It's not in me. It occurred to me as I was looking at this that I pastor and preach to a lot of high-end achievers in our community. Educated, successful, hard charging, many wealthy professionals, CEOs. We have a lot of advantages, and some of you have built businesses, done very well. fact, many of you, you've been successful. And if we're not careful in that kind of entitlement environment, we can think we did this. I did this. I accomplished this. Three cheers for me. And our egos begin to get in the way. You know what an ego is? Edging God out. Paul said, all that stuff that I accomplished before I met Jesus is worthless. It's waste. So, I'm not there yet. I'm not finished with my race yet. But I'm on my way, and I'm going to stay on my way. I'm not going to have confidence in the flesh, but I'm going to trust in the righteousness and the faithfulness of my God. Look, remember, you're just one bad decision from a disaster in your life. A moral, a spiritual disaster. That's why we all need to run this race just a little bit scared. Paul did. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, that he's running this race and he's running it to win. We'll get to that in just a second. But then he went on to say, he said, so I discipline my body. I bring my body under self-control, lest I, having preached to others, I become a default. I become disqualified. Paul ran a little bit scared because his greatest fear was that somehow he would get out of the race and not finish, or put on the sideline and not be used of God. We all ought to run with the knowledge that if we keep our eyes, take our eyes off Jesus, we don't control our bodies, our minds, that we can all be a failure. We can all fall and fail. You want to win in the Christian life. If you want to know spiritual success and longevity, and yes, legacy in your faith, it's not just starting, it's finishing. If you want to run the race and finish, not just stumbling through, but with your hands held high and fall into the arms of your Savior, then never stop learning, never stop growing, never stop progressing, never be satisfied with where you are. Jim Elliot did that. Jim Elliot was a missionary in his 20s. He and a number of his friends, including a buddy by the name of Nate Saint, went down to Ecuador in the 1950s to share Christ. Jim took his wife Elizabeth, who would later tell this story of the martyrdom of these missionaries. But Jim and his friends began to share Christ, but the very ones that they were sharing the gospel with turned against them and ultimately killed them at the end of a spear. Five missionaries dead. One of the spears had a gospel tract wrapped around it that they had given to one of their murderers. Jim Elliot ran the race and finished well. He lived a short time, but God gave him a great life that's impacting others still today. He lived a full life. And he wrote in his personal journal just really a few weeks before his death, these words: I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. That's it. Isn't it? No matter how long God gives us to run, it's not when you start, but how you finish, that you live fully and never be satisfied. Don't waste your life. Don't throw away the gift that God has given you. Don't throw away the opportunities that Jesus has given you, and therefore finish victoriously. Run the race. Never satisfied. Number two, stay focused. Stay focused. That's verse 13. He said, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing. You might want to underscore that in your Bible. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. He said, I'm going to stay focused and the upward call, the high calling of God upon my life. This one thing I do, this one thing of pursuing Christ passionately, progressively becoming more like Christ. I'm not going to get caught up in the distractions and the diversions and the detours. I'm going to look straight ahead and stay focused on the heavenly prize. Distractions are the enemy of distress and of success in life. You know, they say if you're texting while you're driving, it's like being drunk, inebriated. Don't do that. I mean, that's a distraction. And that'll put you out of the race pretty quick if you're not careful. But every winning athlete must stay focused on the goal. There are no side issues. If you're training for a competition, if you're an athlete playing on a team sport or whatever, I mean, you have to put aside other things in order to pursue winning. Because as Vince Lombardi said, winning is not a sometime thing, it's an all-the-time thing. Paul said, run that you may win. Again, this isn't a fun run. This is run that you may win. I'm not a fan of just of getting a trophy or a ribbon by just showing up and participating. I'm sure not a fan of any sport, I don't care how small they are, that doesn't keep score. You keep score. Why? Because you learn things from winning, you learn things from losing. And when we run this race in the Christian life, we are not just showing up and hanging out. We're running to win. We have opponents, rivals, the world, the flesh, the devil. We need to make sure that we're in the contest, that we're in the competition, that there would be a total commitment. You will never be a success in the race that God has given you if you don't have this one burning, passionate, controlling focus in your life. It's the same thing that David talked about in Psalm 27. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's it. One thing. What's the one purpose, the one thing, the all-consuming holy ambition of your life? What is the one thing that motivates you, that moves you, that gets you up every day, even when it isn't time change Sunday and you got an extra hour? I mean, it gets you up every day, not an alarm clock, but what God has called you to do, this onward and upward call. Again, for Paul, it was his passion to know Jesus and to make him known. It was the same thing that Mary had when she knelt at the feet of Jesus. While Martha was in the kitchen getting things ready, and there was heat coming out of that kitchen, not just from the oven, but from Martha, because she was upset that Mary was not helping, and there was a confrontation. Martha said, Jesus, do something here. Get her to help me. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're so concerned about so many things. But Mary has chosen the best thing. And Mary did choose the best thing, which was to worship the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean you won't have other interests. Of course you'll have other interests. Paul did. Paul had a job, in fact. He was a tent maker. Paul traveled. Paul enjoyed sports competition. He alluded to it on numerous occasions in the scripture. He loved the athletic arena and compared it, as in this case, to the Christian life. So Paul liked all of that. He liked rest and food and sleep and all the rest. These were interests. But he knew what Jesus said was true. No man can serve two masters. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Single-minded, clear focus. That's what it takes to win. Sometimes, maybe in business, you are given the advice, you know, you need to not put all your eggs in one basket. Someone added onto that and said, no, it's not right. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Said, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket. That's good business. And that's good for the believer. So your job, your career, your recreation, your friends, your rest, everything that you do should be underneath the authority and the anointing of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ upon your life. Everything. All of our ambitions, all of our appetites. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, talking about what we do, what we don't do in life as believers. He said, now, not everything, he said, everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial or helpful, expedient in life. There's some things that are not good for me because they don't move me forward in life. And sometimes you have to say no. No to lesser things in order to say yes to better things. I often find in my own life that I have to choose not as much between what is good and bad so much, but what is good and what is best and what is better. All of us have to make decisions like that. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're told to lay aside the weights and the sin which so easily holds us back. Lay aside the weights, those things. You know, when a runner runs, they strip down sometimes to almost embarrassing proportions because they don't want anything to hold them back. And the scripture says, don't run with weights, run with wings. Don't let anything trip you up or ensnare you. Maybe you've heard, I used to play the drums. I can still do it a little bit. It's like riding a bike. I'm not very good, but I can keep some rhythm. But when I was a kid, I really wanted to play the drums. So I'm my sophomore year in high school, and I really wanted to get in that stage band. And in order to get in the stage band, which was the cool kids playing in the stage band, I wanted to be the drummer in the Eastern Hills High School Highlander stage band. So you got to work your way up. So I'm in the band, and there were better drummers ahead of me in line. So in the marching band, they gave me the bass drum. However many of you ever played a bass drum and marched in a band with a bass drum? Am I the only one? Okay. So I got that big drum. We're going out to Farrington Field for a big high school football game, Farrington Field in Fort Worth. I got my drum all lined up. I get my band uniform, and I was pushing to the end. I didn't really try it on. So when I tried my uniform on right before I left the house, my pants were way too big. So my mom put some pins in them. We taped them up. We strapped it in with a belt and so on. I get to the field. I put my drum on. I'm out there in the field. I've been walking about 5 minutes, or 5 yards rather, and my pants go to my ankle. I'm telling you the truth. Now, what do you do when you got 2 mallets, a bass drum, and you're marching, trying to keep up, and your pants are around your ankles? Well, I tried to press on. I tried to keep the beat, baby. And I'm going and I'm marching. I'm doing this, you know, trying to move. I got one hand, boom, one hand, trying to pull them up. Probably the most embarrassing moment of my life. You should have heard my friends after that was all said and done. But I marched, baby. My pants were around my ankles. I kept on marching. Now, but it held me back. That was the end of my marching band career. I decided to go play baseball instead. But anyway, point taken, right? You can't run a race with your pants down around your ankles. And anything, any weight, Anything that ensnares you, trips you up, holds you back, get rid of it. For some of you, it could be even be some friends. You know, our friends either build us up or tear us down. Hey, kids, students, bad company corrupts good morals. That's the Bible. And the friends, the people you're, show me the people you hang out with, and I'll show you the person you are or the person you will soon become. Good friends build you up, strengthen you in your faith. Might be a good time to ask yourself, you know, what kind of friend am I? Am I the kind of friend that builds my buddies up, my friends up? Or am I tearing them down? Am I bringing people closer to Jesus or running them away? Good question, right? But certainly we ought to deal with any associations, any appetites that we have that are weights and not wings. All things are lawful. All things are good, but not everything is beneficial. And if someone or something is slowing me in the race, do away with it. Do away with it. Run your own race. That's the third thing, very quickly. Run your own race. We're not in a competition here. Sometimes we fall behind because we're looking around to see what someone else is doing because we don't have their gifts or their abilities or their applause. And we're looking. Have you ever been at the workout facility and you're on a treadmill and you're competing with the person next to you? I do that some. I don't know what that is. But we got our own lane to run. We have our own gifts, our own talents, our own spiritual goals. Run your own race. God has not called you to run my race, nor me yours. Stay in your lane. Keep your eyes on the Lord, on the prize. Run hard. Don't try to impress me or outrun me. Just stay in the race, in your own place, at your own pace. And remember, we're all on the same team, right? If we're in Christ. Okay, here's another one. Never quit. Never quit. Verse 14, he says, I follow after, which means I sweat, I strain, I press on. Verse 14, verse 12. It means to pursue relentlessly. So often we don't finish the race well because we quit too soon. We give up. We must endure. We train to persevere. So many people have the want to win, but they don't have the will to win. And it takes both. Some have the desire to win spiritually, but don't have the discipline and the determination. Paul said, I'm pressing on. I may be in prison. I've been beaten. I've been nearly stoned to death and left for dead. I'm facing an uncertain future, but I'm not defeated. I'm going to keep running. I'll never stop. Never stop serving Christ. Never stop giving your life. Never stop witnessing to your friends. Some of you, you have given up and you're just watching others now. The other evening when I was up here for the fall festival, it was great. And thanks to all the kids and families who came, to all the volunteers, our children's ministry. It's a great, great event as always. Thousands of families, it's great outreach. We just have a big party, invite kids and families in and share Christ and super thing. But when I was up here early and just seeing some kids and greeting some volunteers, I noticed how many senior adults we had that were serving at the fall festival. That's a really good thing. Because, you know, a senior adult could say, I'm not going to get up there around all that crowd and those kids. I'm going to stay home and watch reruns of Bonanza or something. Wheel of Fortune, I'll watch that. No, they came up here and served because they know that they still have a race to run. Still have a work to do. Don't give up. Don't retire from life. Keep running. No matter what age you are. Some people about 40, they quit. You know, they They die at 40, but they don't get buried till about 80 because they're not fully alive. They just wait to get buried. Paul spoke of the fellowship of his sufferings here. He said, the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. He said, you will suffer if you're going to run the race. Oh, I didn't sign up for suffering. I thought the Christian life was all exciting and exhilarating and winning. And now he said, there's some suffering, there's some pain, some heartbreak along the way. In fact, if you're a believer, all who live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Our God is a suffering God who suffered for us and gave his life on the cross. And a mark of a Christian is someone who's known pain and known suffering and continues to move forward and never stops, never quit, never, don't you ever give up. Keep your passion. No matter what age or stage you are in life. I heard about a 92-year-old man who went to the doctor. He wasn't feeling well. So the doctor examined him and gave him a prescription and sent him on his way. About a week or two later, the doctor was out somewhere and he saw this elderly gentleman, 92 years of age, with a young, beautiful girl, about 50 years younger than him. He was, you know, just smiling, having a great day. His doctor said, looked at him and said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just doing what you told me to do. What? He said, yeah. You told me to go find a hot mama and be cheerful. The doctor said, I did not tell you that. I told you you have a heart murmur. Be careful. Keep your fire. And then don't, number five, don't be paralyzed by the past. Paul said, forgetting, look at verses 13 and 14. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, straining, very, very strong competitive word, straining every ounce, every inch of us straining to the tape. He said, forget those things which are behind, moving forward to those things which are before, the upward, onward call. We can learn so much from the past, but we shouldn't ever live there. You can't live your life looking over your shoulder, looking in the rearview mirror. You can't run a race like that. Satchel Paige used to say, you're running, don't turn around, somebody will be gaining on you. So we keep our eyes on the prize, focus, and we don't get paralyzed by the past. Have you ever noticed how often we remember those things that we ought to forget, and we forget those things we ought to remember? Jesus gave us a supper, his supper, so that we would always remember and never forget what he did for us. There's some things we never should forget. But we ought to remember to forget those things which we should forget. Let me give you some examples. Forget about past successes. Paul could have rested on his laurels. He could have lived in the past, what had happened, and just coasted into eternity and waited for his execution. But he said, no, past successes are not enough for today. You know, I love history. I love, this is 25 years, as you know, this summer we celebrated 25 years together as pastor and people, and it was fun to look back and see what God has done. Just take a minute, a brief minute to look at our history. But you know what? I'm not interested in history. What I'm interested in is destiny. Because God has so much more that he wants to do with me, you, all of us. So great athletes put up their press clippings and they move forward. The best is yet. His mercies are new every day, every morning. He makes all things new. Don't be resistant to change. Embrace the new thing that God wants to do in your life. So forget about past successes. Forget about past sin. If it's under the blood of Christ and covered by His grace, get over your guilt. Stay focused on forgiveness and what Christ has done for you. Hebrews 10:17 says, He remembers our sins no more. That doesn't mean that God has had a lapse in memory. It means that He chooses, because of what His Son has done for us, to forget about our sins. Forget about it. He has, you should as well, if indeed you have been forgiven, if you've come to the cross, if you've confessed your sin. Too many people live in their sin and their shame, the past sin and shame. Shame is a terrible thing. We're calling this series Unashamed, and it's primarily, of course, about being unashamed of the gospel. Unashamed of living for Christ. But it could also apply to this. Don't live in shame. Live unashamed because of what Christ. Therefore, in Christ, there's now no condemnation. We're going to preach that in a couple of weeks, Romans 8. No condemnation. And I tell you a sad thing that I see from time to time. I see someone who has been hurt by someone else's sin, a choice that someone else has made. And therefore, they just live with the shame of that sin on them. Maybe your husband left you, or your child did the wrong thing, and you're just living in that shame. Listen to me. Somebody else's sin is not your shame. Live in the freedom of your life in Christ. Don't be broken down, bogged down by sins in the past, the shame of yesterday. Some of you just keep playing that old movie again and again. You're watching reruns of the past. Cut it out. Throw it away. And then one final thing. Don't forget about past sorrow. I know some of you have great grief in your life. I tell people through times of grief, look, you'll never get over it, but you will get through it. I was talking to a man yesterday whose wife of many years had passed away, and it's been a while, but he still just can't get through it. He's still so grief-stricken, and he can't move forward with his life, and we were just praying together about that, and I told him, you know, exactly what I'm showing you today in Scripture, and that is, you know, you can't live grieving the rest of your life. Let the Holy Spirit comfort you. Let God strengthen you, even if it means just taking one step at a time. Get up. Keep moving. Don't stay in your grief and your sorrow and your depression. You can't keep licking your wounds from the past. Get up. Get on with your life. One final thing, finish. Finish. Paul finished well. He said, I've finished the course. I've run the race. He said in Acts 20, verse 24, look on the screen. This is becoming a maxim verse for me, a marker verse in my own life these days. This is what I want my life to be. Paul said it as he faced the future. He said, but I don't account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. There's a missing word there. It should say that I may finish my course with joy. So just insert that. It's supposed to be there. That I may finish my course with joy. And the ministry that I have received. Let that be our prayer, that we finish. Jesus is coming soon. He's either going to come for us or call us home. But He's coming. Keep your eyes on Him. And so here is Paul. Don't feel sorry for him. He's not a beaten down old ex-athlete. He's not wearing one of those shirts that said, the older I get, the better I was. He's not licking his wounds. He's not depressed and defeated. No, he's still got his head high and his eyes on the prize. He's still running that race. He's still coming up higher. He's on the onward, upward call. And he's giving it his all, every ounce, every inch of himself. Oh, I know these are challenging times. I know our religious freedoms are under attack and are being diminished day after day. I know there are new challenges to the Christian faith. Maybe in your own life there are personal challenges, but now's not the time to give up or to back up, but to keep going forward. It's time to finish. And finish well. I don't know how much time any of us have. I don't know how much time you have. I don't know what the time is on the clock. Some of you had no idea what time it was this morning. But you know, it doesn't matter how much time's left on the clock if you're living every day like Paul the athlete. Like Paul, the spiritual mentor and coach to all of us, who is saying, look, know Jesus. Know him better and better every day of your life. Keep running this race. Get rid of anything that holds you back in your life. Don't live in the past failures, past foibles, past successes, past sins, past griefs. He said, put all of that behind you. Get your eyes on Jesus and run with endurance the race that is set before you. And then when your day comes to finish, you'll break that tape with hands held high and celebrate your victories forever with Jesus.